This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I mean, the masjid is perhaps the most important institution for Muslims. If you go back to the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the masjid was... it was everything, and people, this is cliche at this point, the masjid was a university, and it was this, and it was that, and it was the meeting place, it was the center, literally, physically, geographically of the community, and metaphorically, figuratively, the heart of the community. And if we do some assessment and some evaluation of ourselves, we don't have that. We haven't created that. At least most of the mosques in America aren't like that. What they are is they're institutions where, you know, they have a varying degree of aesthetic quality to them, and they're pretty much, want to say, in the clutches of the donor class. Let's put it like that. That we see the stratification and the inequality in the Muslim community play out in the masjid. That the doctors and the lawyers and the people who are seen as the movers and shakers of the community, the ones who pay the bills, the one who give the big donations, they're the ones that kind of call the shots in most of the mosques. And what happens is that mosques end up underserving a lot of other populations and groups. They're not necessarily dawah oriented. A lot of them are sort of culturally oriented or socially oriented. Sometimes it's worse than that. Sometimes it's even like ethnically oriented, and that's not to say, I don't mean to be too categorical, because there might be some situations where an ethnically centered masjid makes sense, but not to the extent that we have it currently. And so what's the masjid doing? I mean, at the least charitable interpretation, I've seen some people even say that the mosque is like a tax shelter for the rich Muslims. May Allah prevent that from being so. That's some harsh criticism. I'm not sure that I completely agree to that, but hopefully that's not the case. So what we need more input from people across the spectrum. We need these things to not be under the control of the hands of the few, or if they're going to be in the control of the hands of a few, then the criteria of who those few should be their religious knowledge. And it shouldn't be their income or their tax bracket, which is, to be frank, that's what it is right now. So it is what it is. I mean, I had an Uzbeki colleague and classmate in Medina who had a great idea. I thought it was a great idea. He said, what if all the donations to the masjid were blind, double blind? You drop it in a box and nobody knows. You don't know and nobody knows. Imagine what that would change. First of all, it would really see who's sincere when it comes to making your donation to the mosque, nobody putting their name on anything. But it would also hopefully, like this, if you really want to do it for the community, then you should do it even if you're not going to get recognized, not expecting anything in return. This isn't a corporation where you're buying shares and you have a 50% share in the business and now you get control or voting. No, that's not how, this is the mosque, this is Allah. Al-masajid lillah, like the Allah says in the Quran, the mosques are for Allah. And so perhaps that's one technique or one sort of structure that could achieve that, where you have a thick membrane where the people who are the most qualified managerially to operate the mosque are not beholden to the people who Allah blessed them with the ability to finance the mosque, that there maybe needs to be a thick separation between those two things. And there's lots of other things that need to happen. In general, sort of the platforming and the higher, right now the mosque is sort of set up as a nonprofit where there's a board and there's an employee and the imam is an employee. And how are you going to have people with zero religious knowledge evaluating somebody whose job is to be a religious leader? I don't see how that works. Not to say that there's nothing that they can't evaluate on. Obviously, there's certain, if we had ethical standards and things of that nature, we could say, okay, you're in compliance or you're not in compliance on this. But it's the wrong type of corporatization of the mosque, in my opinion, where you're getting down to work hours and tasks completed, and you're kind of losing the forest through the trees where you're not seeing community transformation. And I've known, people have told me, and Boy, if you knew the stories that the imams share among themselves. There was an imam in Toronto that was with the mayor of Toronto during a prayer time, and he wasn't at the mosque to lead dhuhr or something like that, and they fired him on the spot. So that just goes to show you the mentality, where we have people with no sense of a vision for the future and the future of Islam in these lands that have a certain expectation of what a community leader should do or look like. And they are able to control, hire, evaluate, fire, undermine religious leaders. And that's not a formula that's worked very well. Yaqeen Institute has released research, has done research. Over half of the mosques in the United States don't have a full-time imam. The average tenure for an imam is less than 2 years. That's not by accident. That's not just a coincidence. We're not doing it right. So may Allah guide us. I mean, the mosque, it's too important to turn our back on. I don't believe that the third space is a long-term solution. I think it's just a temporary sort of holding cell until we figure it out. We've sunk so much money and resources and time into these institutions. We really have to do better. And we have the talent. We have the talent in the community. People such as in Muhammad al-Shanawi's community, the Sheikh's community, are, you know, people who are EDs, people who understand how these things work. People who come into a community and say, you guys are on this point in your journey of nonprofit life cycles or life stages or where you're going. And this is what that stage calls for. And this is the challenges of this. This is all a discipline. You can get your degree in nonprofit management. We don't have anybody, like, it's very rare to find someone who's qualified to run a nonprofit, running a nonprofit in the Muslim community. So even that, maybe we don't have, or we're not ready to turn over the keys to a strong, you know, religious leader. Maybe, okay, but let's get somebody who's, this is their actual field of expertise. They're not a doctor coming in. They're not a lawyer coming in. They're not an engineer coming in. No, their expertise is in nonprofit management. That's the person who should be running managing the nonprofit, right? And then the religious leader has to be empowered to be a community leader. And that's not to say that they do everything right, or that there aren't people out there that are no good or that are taking advantage. We need to have the proper standards in place to hold those people accountable as well. But you also have to look at where the community's at. If the community is at one extreme, you need to pull them back to the center from that direction. If the community is at another extreme, you got to pull them back to the center from that other direction. Right now, there's tons of talented young religious leaders, imams, that are chased out of the mosque, that they're not empowered, they're not allowed to make the transformations that they know need to be made, and then they go get another job somewhere else, not in religious leadership, in IT, they open up a business, they do something else. So we're our own enemy. We're losing talent. We're hemorrhaging this talent. We need to fix this up. We need to fix it up very, very soon.